CliffCentral.com.
Hero of the Stupid.
CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? 28th of March, and our president has got everybody in the country nervous. Just yesterday, he decided to tell Pravin Gordhan to come home, Director General in the Treasury to come home. Very urgent. Speculation is rife. Nobody seems to know what's going on. And we know this guy doesn't care about us or the economy or any of that stuff. But we'll have to see what happened. And then other very, very sad breaking news this morning, Mavs, is that Ahmed Kathrada is no longer with us.
Mm. According to news reports, he passed away early this morning. Last night already, there were reports from his camp that his health had deteriorated over the past 24 hours. So, yeah, waking up to this news is, you know, it's just another one of those reminders of the cycle, which none of us get to escape.
Yeah, yeah.
He was 87 years old.
Yeah, that's the truth. And his contribution was more than we could have asked of him. So let's let the man rest in peace. Obviously, a loss to South Africa, a loss to the world. One of the few people left who were on Robben Island.
Mm.
And someone who I met several times in my life. In fact, I was on Robben Island with him once for a broadcast. We actually spent the night on the island. It was, I think, one of the few nights that he'd spent since leaving prison on the island. Obviously, not in the prison, but we stayed in the house there, the house that I suppose the governor of the island originally built or whatever it might have been. And just a deep humanitarian, someone of principle, someone who believed in what he was fighting for, someone who nailed his colors to the mast and took whatever punishment came as a result of that being an unpopular decision, stood up for the poor, stood up for the disenfranchised. The kind of human we could all only wish to be in our best moments.
Absolutely.
And he was that man in every moment. So, you know what? I don't like using the word comrade because I think it's an outdated Marxist leftover. But in this case, because he liked to be called that, Comrade Cathy, as members of the ANC and the South African Communist Party and trade unions used to refer to him, Comrade Cathy, go well. Hamagahle, you have made your contribution. You can close your eyes and you can take a break now. The country will have to struggle forward without you. We'll have to fight our own fights from here on in. But to have had your participation up to now is an honor, and probably one we don't deserve.
And that's the truth.
There we go. Yeah, and it's so ironic that we were just the other day we replayed the interview that I had with him, a lengthy and deep interview that we had over the course of I think an hour and a half.
Mm.
The last time he came in here, sometime last year, reflecting largely on his life and the things that he experienced, his thoughts on where we're at the moment. You can criticize a lot of people. I don't know that there are that many criticisms you can level at Ahmed Kathrada, which is quite something. I mean, I don't like sort of trying to infer the negative about someone. But it's one thing to make a very positive contribution, which certainly he did. But it's entirely another to find yourself almost uncriticized, which is what he is. I don't know a lot of people who say, oh, well, you know that Ahmed Kathrada, he did these things, but... And in the case of most human beings, Nelson Mandela, we hear people saying, well, he was this and this, but... But in Kathrada's situation, you know, I remember him coming in for that interview and he said to me, look, there are only... I think there were two areas that I don't really want to get into in this discussion, and only because of his age and his seniority and his reputation. mm-hmm. would I normally allow someone to say, well, you can't go here or you can't go there? And he asked out of respect. He didn't ask out of a need to censor himself. He said, look, I don't want to talk too much about the current administration because mm-hmm. I have my disagreements with them.
Mm-hmm.
But for my 80-something-year-old voice to be the voice of criticism against the government, he said, seems out of place. So don't let's go there too much. He did, in the end, open up a little bit about it, as you might have heard if you heard the interview. And the other one was that he didn't really want to discuss himself, his health, that kind of thing, because he thought it was a little bit solipsistic and self-centered. I mean, what a guy. And you know what? You can't help but feeling a bit sad, but I also feel like it's a relief for him, for his family, and finally for the country that we can start looking to ourselves as leaders now instead of hoping that someone from that generation will come back into ours and save us. There is no Jesus here. There is no Savior. There is nobody who's going to stop the madness of King Jacob except you.
You and me.
That's right. And there are a lot of us. Just look around. You know, we always find reasons in this country to separate into our tribes or our languages or our races or our ethnicities or our whatever the differentiating factor is that we can find. We love that. We love to back into dark corners where our most primitive mammalian characteristics, in fact, reptilian characteristics can kick in and we can find no reason to band together and do the right thing. Well, that has to change. And if this country means anything post Nelson Mandela, post Oliver Tambo, post Walter Sisulu, post Ahmed Kathrada, then this country means that we are better together than we are separated. Do you really want an Orania? Do you really want a separate Zulu nation to a separate Xhosa nation to a separate white people in the suburbs nation? No, you don't. Nobody really wants that. And if you do, you're about 40 years too late. So here's what you got to do. And I love days like this because Ahmed Kathrada has given us a great gift. He's given us a chance to do a little introspection and to figure out what we may make as our contribution in the next generation. Let's not just be the heirs of what great people before us have done. Let's try to construct our own better future, right?
Mm.
And here's how we do it. We stop this madness. We stop. There are three possibilities for what Jacob Zuma has done. Have you heard what they are? I saw Mandy Weiner post something very sharp about this.
Okay.
You want to hear what she had to say?
Yeah, sure.
You know, occasionally there's someone who breaks through the noise. In this case, it's Mandy Weiner. She tweeted something or she put it on Facebook. It was quite lengthy, but it's worth having a look at. She said, all right, in the absence of facts, speculation will spiral.
Okay.
So it's no surprise that there are countless conspiracy theories doing the round about why President Jacob Zuma summoned Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan back home from an international investor conference in the UK. What could possibly be so pressing, so urgent, so crucial that would warrant us compromising international investor confidence in South Africa while we carefully tiptoe around a potential downgrade? Good point, well put. So here's what she thinks there could be. Today, the presidency issued a statement confirming Gordhan and the deputy had been called home. Crucially, the president did not explain why. So, of course, we're going to speculate. So, first of all, she says, let's be rational. My rational brain says it's because the president and the government are terrified that the SASSA crisis is going to go bang and they're desperate to get grants to recipients on the 1st of April. They need a competent person like Pravin to wade in and take control. That's the rational brain, right?
Yeah.
We can only hope that that's the reason they've called Pravin back, because Jacob's going to sit him down and say to him today, Pravin, we're in a huge amount of up to the nostrils shit, and we need you to help dig us out of this, because if we don't pay these people their grants, we're going to have a major situation on our hands.
But up to the nostrils shit isn't something new, though.
No, it's always this is the state of constant presence for this administration. Then she says her cynical brain. So we dealt with the rational brain, right?
You know, I love that Mandy can do that.
She can compartmentalize her thoughts.
Yes.
It's very, this is why she's smart.
It's very higher grade level type of thinking.
All right. So her rational brain says it's because of Sasser. Her cynical brain says that there's no coincidence that the president has joined the court action between the Guptas and Gordon, and that the timing suggests that the president wants the finance minister back on home soil so that he can show face in court. After all, that is what the Guptas are demanding, and he is beholden to the Guptas. But surely that's too obvious. Maybe not. That's the cynical brain. Then there's the conspiratorial brain, the final of the three. And these are the only three possible explanations. There isn't a fourth one. So you've got to choose now. Which one do you think is the most likely? We can only hope it's the rational one.
Sure.
If it's the cynical one and he's just doing what the Guptas tell him, we truly have a country that has been captured by an immigrant family that weren't even here in 1994 and have no regard for the people, our history, our economy, and the current living conditions of poor people.
None whatsoever.
None. So the final one, the conspiratorial brain, is this. Could Zuma have shorted the rand? The rand has been on a rampage at its best strength yet to the dollar in some months. And every time that happens, something occurs to bring it back down to earth. There were suggestions that a pocketful of people shorted the rand when weekend special Des van Rooyen was briefly appointed finance minister, and that lots and lots of money was made. I mean, if you are the prime mover in a country and the president is the prime mover, and you can affect the currency so directly by your actions or your delict, then why wouldn't you occasionally play the currency? You could pocket billions. You buy $1 billion at 12 rand 40. The currency goes up to 13 something. You sell those dollars. Suddenly you've
got... That's illegal though, right?
Of course it's illegal.
Of course it's
but
illegal.
If you're the president and someone else is doing it for you, and all you have to do is give them knowledge of that, there's no way we could prove what he did or he didn't. How do you send anyone to jail? Plus no one in this country goes to jail. No one.
But it would seem like a very sort of strange transaction to deal with in any way, shape, or form.
Well, let's just go into what Mandy says here. She says the rand will recover, so why not make the most of it? The point is, who knows what the hell Zoom is thinking? All we can do is throw around hypotheses and speculate. As one person on Facebook so poignantly pointed out, there is fuckery afoot.
Oh, so poignantly, right?
So eloquent as well.
There is fuckery afoot.
Well, I mean, and then yesterday, what I saw on Twitter, and this was a tweet by EWN, which is the stable under which Mandy Weiner writes, right? That the Science and Technology Department confirmed that Naledi Pandor was, you know, she's finance minister up until tomorrow. Which I guess, you know, fine. If your finance minister leaves the country, then technically you bring somebody in to take over the reins.
Right.
But yeah, Naledi Pandor has essentially been finance minister over the last few days, and that position was supposed to come to an end tomorrow, which is when I think Gordon and them were supposed to return. But then they were recalled by the president.
I'm very worried about
what this means. Oh, are you worried, Gareth? Is that what you are?
Mavs, you know, I slept well last night because I was tired, not because I wasn't worried. Oh, man.
I'm scared at this point, not just worried. I'm actually afraid.
Well, here's a WhatsApp message. Is Praveen on his way out? Maybe it's time to look at buying that house in Mauritius, Gareth. You get residency if you buy a house there. that's if we could afford houses there. Temba says, today I'll be listening to Cliff Central for at least 9 hours without interruption. I'm traveling alone from Mthatha in the Eastern Cape to Pretoria. I have 950 kilometers to go. I'm only stopping for fuel. Please play the fart theme song for Mabale's News. I giggled when they played that on the show last Thursday. Well, you know what, Temba, just for you. Lots of other messages coming in about Praveen. People are saying that we should consider the call from many that the president should review his position and stand down, and we need to get all our contacts to send him messages. It's not going to, that never works. If your best bet is to send messages, you need to have someone at the other side who's going to read them. No one is going to read them. This president has proven time and time again he does not care about us and our opinions. So don't think that he suddenly will if more of us send him an SMS or a letter or a viral email. It's not going to happen. And then someone says, Zuma be like, the Rand is stronger, call Praveen.
Oh, yeah. Dear. Yeah, I want to hear more about what Anthea thinks about this whole thing.
I wonder. I think everybody's just a bit flummoxed. You know, there are only those three explanations, the rational, the cynical, or the conspiratorial.
Yeah, spot on.
And if you can make up your mind, I mean, I'm holding thumbs that it would be. These are the last-ditch efforts of a desperate man. But then somebody said to me yesterday, he's not a desperate man, he's won.
Exactly. He's got two more years to be scandalous and whatever else the hell he is.
Karen, if he drags us right down to the depths of being a failed state, he'll do it. Because the more failed the state is, the less likely he is to go to jail. So let me ruin the country so that there isn't any means for me to be responsible for my actions. I will take you all down with me, is what the president is saying to us. This is the kind of action that a man who thinks that is going to do and undertake, right?
Oh, what a time.
what a situation we find ourselves in.
But as I said, there are always ways for ordinary people to stand up and be counted. And we can make our voices heard by being a little more than comfortable to sit at a desk and write responses. There's got to be more that we can do. Maybe we need to shut down the banks. Maybe we need to stop the economy in its tracks. Maybe we need to kick the Guptas out.
We need to start asking the questions how to execute certain things. Instead of just whining and moaning and complaining, we need to start asking the critical questions. What are our options? How can we as civilians?
I reckon we got to start. Let's kick out the Guptas. That's not a bad move. These people have held our country to ransom more than once.
Guys, you're missing the big problem here. Helen Ziller said something in a tweet.
Yeah, that's true.
This stuff is secondary.
Wait, we've all been distracted.
Yeah, let's get to the real issues here. Helen Ziller said something mean.
Wait, No. That is something that is entirely different altogether. That's like a GA strategy thing.
Maybe there's a fight in a spur. Can someone bring us a fight in a spur?
Let's all get back to the real
issues. There are countries in this world that have brought their governments to their knees. How are we going to do it? Stop moaning, stop complaining, start asking critical questions. How?
Someone says, Mabale, the secret lies in your juice.
No, absolutely
maybe
not.
Is it juice?
Yeah.
It's a good point, though. Didn't Egypt just go to some town square? The problem is we don't know where our town square is in this country.
No, well, we need to.
Can it be Sandton Square? Because Mandela's there, the big statue, and there's the library there. Can we just all go there? There's restaurants, there's good toilets.
So we protest, then also go for a drink and sushi.
We need a plan. Yeah, exactly. And they've got that Sally Williams pop-up ice cream store. Oh, that's the business. So let's formulate a plan. Location first.
Oh, location, location, location.
All right. Well, we'll come up with something, hopefully, because we need to. There aren't a lot of options at this point. Yesterday, I had a really, really busy day. I got home. I was so exhausted. I collapsed into bed. I was in bed and asleep by 9. Isn't that great?
Ooh.
I felt fantastic when I woke up this morning. You know, suddenly, I'm such a genius. I suddenly figured out that sleep was all I was missing. Huh?
No, that doesn't make you a genius.
I'm a genius.
That makes you slow to the party.
What time did you wake up this morning?
4:30.
Oh. Shucks, that is a good, those are good innings for sleep.
Mm.
9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 hours, 7.5 hours. Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad, huh?
We're finally becoming relatively normal.
Hey, Lucas. Lucas wasn't here yesterday. What's happening, man? Come on in here. I want to hear about the... we thought you'd been killed by your rabbits yesterday. Get in here. We need to talk to you.
Evil rabbits with red eyes.
Lucas has got a rabbit farm. He's producing them. I mean, they produce themselves. You know, they say breed like rabbits. What's going on, Lucas? You look very smart today, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that. I like that shirt.
Thank you so much.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So how are the rabbits?
Oh, no, the rabbits are good and...
they didn't try to kill you.
No. They're not like meowsers, you know. Yes, I can say to somebody, get a rabbit, not a cat.
No. Unconfirmed, Lucas. Unconfirmed.
You know, and especially on the this year, on the 23rd of September,
yeah,
is the International Rabbit Day.
Are we going to do something about that?
What happens? Yeah,
on the 23rd, you know.
What happens on... Tell me about that.
I think I need to... So what happens, it's...
Do I swap my pork chops for a bit of rabbit on the braai?
No, Mavali, no. Nobody... No, that's a no-go area. On this day, it was created to promote the protection and care of rabbits, both domestic and wild. So International Day Rabbit is held each year for the fourth Saturday in September. The rabbit habitats include woods, forests, grass, whatever areas that they mention here. And they cannot tell you.
What a stupid day. I've got,
like, come on.
I got to say right up front, this is the stupidest day. Do we really need an International Rabbit Day?
Hey man,
for rabbit farmers,
I mean, if you're gonna have International Toasted Cheese Sandwich Day, why not one for the rabbits?
You know, everybody come to work, dress as bunnies.
No. Sandisa says we can come up with something to overthrow this government, but all I know is that the courts and cases won't work, as we've seen this time and time again. You know, I don't know, Sandisa. I think that the courts are doing the very best job they can.
Yeah.
I think they've been...
You know, when they don't have their... offices burgled and have computers stolen out of them, they're doing what they can.
Exactly what Mabali says. How? We say things we feel we should do, but how?
How?
Yeah, well, someone's going to come up with an answer. I'm not going to volunteer that spot. But I do think that there's going to have to be some movement soon. People are not going to put up with this. Otherwise, we'll all end up being slaughtered on International Rabbit Day. When is it? September?
Yeah, September 23rd.
Oh, 23rd, yeah. Not the 24th.
Yeah, 23rd.
Oh,
yeah.
You see.
You know, yeah, because South Africans will braai my rabbits on the 24th.
Do rabbits make a noise?
Yeah, they do. When they're hungry, they make a lot
what
of
do
noise.
They do? Just
no, then they scream.
They scream?
Yeah.
Oh. What do you mean they scream?
They scream. They make weird sounds.
Oh, my God. Can you record that?
Yeah, I can.
They scream.
Like if you feed them a bit late, yeah.
And do they threaten each other? Are they violent with each other?
Yeah, I think male. If you have more than four males in a small habitat, like, they'll often fight each other, you know, for dominance.
What do they call a male rabbit again? There's a word for it. A male rabbit is called a buck. No, really. And the mother is the dam. So a male rabbit's called a buck. I mean, it sounds ridiculous because a buck is a separate animal completely.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe I'll bring a small rabbit on the 23rd.
No.
So you guys can touch it and see. No. When was the last time you saw a rabbit? In high school?
No, they're cute. They're
no, like, you see, my thing is I often... They probably have like some sort of...
No,
ticks or no, something, and then everyone is like, oh, they're so cute, and
no,
you want to rub up on it. Next thing, you're turning red all over. I'll give
no,
this one pass.
Sia, come on. Come on.
No, but other than that, I was taking care of mom, who was not feeling well. But, yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot, Tim. And Ben kept sending lots of messages.
Yeah. By the way, I've got to ask you to print out that sign for the toilet of the people shitting on the walls so that we can put that up there. We've had such toilet problems in the last little while, and Jane is actually going off to have her baby. So God alone
Jane's
knows.
Got into early labor because of the toilet problems here.
So we've got to have another plan.
I'll print it now. Yes.
All right. Thanks, Lucas. Just quickly before we get to news, Songeza Zibi, formerly the editor of The Business Day and someone who I think is very, very smart and lucid when it comes to summarizing the big stories and the big issues of the day, says to bring together the two main stories of this morning, as if to demonstrate our troubles, the moral beacon, Ahmed Kathrada, will probably be eulogized by that most compromised, unethical leader.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I was saying to Lucas this morning, now we're going to have to put up with all of these politicians wanting to be seen, you know, to be speaking on behalf of Ahmed Kathrada now. You know,
watch them all.
People are going to want to claim him.
Yeah, and yes. I think he was quite clear at the end. He didn't want to be claimed. You know, it's kind of like Madiba didn't want to be claimed. Do you remember all of that?
They'll now absolutely be saying things like, this is what Mr. Kathrada would have wanted. No.
Don't speak on his
behalf. Don't do that.
We'd prefer if you didn't.
Not cool.
None of you.
Let his experience and let his legacy speak for itself. We don't need your dirty, grubby paws all over his very nice, clean legacy. Thank you very much. This president has not only presided over the moral destruction of the ANC, but also the death of its greatest leaders. And he ends up being the person who stands up at the funerals, bemoaning what a loss that we don't have them anymore, when the greatest loss is what the ANC used to stand for and what freedom means under his administration. Let that be the metaphorical picture you see when he stands up and tells us how great Ahmed Kathrada was. Let's get into some news. Mabali Moloi has got the headlines this morning. You pretty much know two of them already, but we'll get into the rest. Here it is, everything you need to know. Brought to you by Calcacchio Pizzeria. If you haven't been to a Calcacchio yet, you're missing out. You might have had pizza in your life, but you never had a pizza like this. Go along and you can find them in pretty much every town in South Africa. They're all over the place and they are the best. So why would you settle for second best or third best or fourth best? And you have those oily, disgusting, gross pizzas with the, you know, where the cheese is on the top and it's got that, you could basically take a cloth and you could mop up the oil on top of those. That never happens at Calcacchio's. They always make these beautiful, crispy, thin bases. They've got a topping that you've chosen, expertly put together. They can do any combination you ask for. And they really do have a variety on their menu that'll knock your socks off. If you don't like pizza, there's pasta. If you don't like pasta, there are salads. And there are plenty of other quirky things on their menu, but you need to go and see it for yourself to figure it out. And just because Temba asked for this, we'll do one more intro. Oh. Okay. Barely make out Mabali's news theme. All right, Mabs, what have you got?
Well, yes, Gareth. Some called it the controversial decision which was made by President Jacob Zuma to recall Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan from his trip to London, after which he would then, or rather was supposed to head to New York for two more days. A possible cabinet reshuffle is one of the theories that was thrown into the mix, you know, after you read that brilliant article by Mandy Wiener about, you know, conspiracy theories and such. So a cabinet reshuffle is something that has been on the cards for a while. So, you know, other people were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. Could it be looming? Very little information was provided by the presidency as to why exactly he recalled the finance minister. Some reports stated that the president said that Pravin Gordhan's visit was unauthorized. What? I don't understand. Anyway, the finance minister arrived in London on Sunday. He was accompanied by the Director General of Treasury, Lungisa Fuzile. Other officials alongside Head of Business Unity South Africa, Jabu Mabuza, and others. They were to spend Monday in London talking to investors, and then the talks were due to continue today.
Yep.
That was part of an investor tour which was scheduled to start in London and last for 2 days there before moving to Boston in the USA for a day and then to New York for 2 days. But then apparently this trip was unauthorized. And yes.
And he figured that out while he was already on it.
Well, I mean, this
presidency is stupid.
This is why it's confusing. And yes, the rand did plunge within an hour of the president recalling the finance minister. Mm-hmm. The rand lost 35 cents against the dollar in a matter of an hour after the news became known. And then it earlier firmed rather to 12:31. So Anthea, I'm sure, will be all over that aspect.
I see it's currently 12:75.
Okay, and then in the Cape Town, or rather the High Court in Cape Town yesterday, 22-year-old Henry van Breda, of course, made his appearance, but it turned out to be a bit of a false start. Gareth.
I know.
Yeah. An application was brought by Media 24 to live stream the proceedings. Remember, we were talking about this yesterday about whether it was going to be televised and all of that. So Media 24 brought with them an application to live stream the proceedings, as well as a request for more evidence by van Breda's counsel, which prompted the judge to postpone the trial to April 24th.
Oh.
Now, the judge granted the media house permission to film the proceedings in the morning, but then he had to suspend the order because the defense and the prosecution both objected. They indicated that they might approach the Constitutional Court for leave to appeal the decision. Pieter Botha is van Breda's counsel. He said that he had consulted with his client and that he was now preparing a plea. Mm-hmm. Quote, if there is someone who wants to have his say after he has been in the glare of the media, it is my client. He just doesn't want to do it, you know, in front of cameras or have it live streamed.
Nah, well, I don't care what he wants. You don't get to say what you want.
Yes, you do. In a court of law, you actually do get to say what you want.
I hate these rules.
In a court of law, you actually do get to have your say. And so, yeah, postponed to April 24th, which will be in another few weeks, I'm afraid.
We were just making some headway with this case. We're the only people who've been interested.
Who care about this?
Like, Ben, haven't we been interested in this Henry van Breda case longer and more intently than anyone else?
They should have approached us if we want to solve broadcast rights, quite frankly.
Actually, yes. We'd be a very diverse,
grateful pricks
team here to give commentary.
Now, aside of the whole recalling of the finance minister debacle, the president has also found himself caught in a legal dispute.
Surprise.
This is between the finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, as well as Gupta-controlled companies, right? Yeah. The state attorney filed an affidavit with the High Court in Pretoria to have an application by Standard Bank that directly affects the president to be struck off the roll because Zuma has not been formally joined in the proceedings. This relates to that time when, you know, some of the major banks in the country decided that they no longer wanted to have business dealings with the Guptas. Gordhan applied to the High Court in Pretoria back in October last year for an order declaring he did not have the power to intervene with the decision which was taken by several South African banks to terminate their business accounts with Oak Bay, which is the group of companies controlled by the Gupta family. Gordhan made his application following a number of letters from then Oak Bay Investment CEO Nazim Hawa, asking the minister to assist the companies after their bank accounts were closed.
All right. So since then, Nazim Hawa's gone.
Nazim Hawa's gone. Very quickly stepped down, removed himself from the situation.
All Pravin said was, I can't intervene.
I can't intervene.
All the banks said is, we don't want to do business with the Guptas. So far, everybody seems to be within their rights.
Now,
the Guptas want to force these banks to do business with them, and they're bringing all the power they have to bear. They're telling the president, now, listen, if you want us to keep employing your son and you want us to keep dishing out money to all of your apparatchiks in the system, then you better let us have a bank. That's what they're pretty much saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Son of a bitch. Who are these people?
So Standard Bank, which is a party to the proceedings, are the ones that brought President Zuma into the proceedings without formally joining him. They've sought an order declaring that no member of the National Executive of Government, including the president, is empowered to intervene in any decision which was taken by the bank to terminate its banking relationship with Oak Bay Investments.
Quite right. Surely you can decide who you want to do business with. You don't have to.
I would think so.
Imagine me forcing Mabali and Ben to do business with each other. Can't do that.
No. Yeah, that's not advisable.
So now the president wants Standard Bank's application to be struck off the roll. Yeah, busy times.
Maybe that's why Pravin's coming back. You know, one of the reasons is that people say, well, you know, the president's really just a puppet for the Guptas. This means he lacks agency completely. This would be a real smack in the face of kind of individual self-agency. And for the president, it means that he is truly owned. Very bad outcome that our president has suddenly been bought, purchased by a family.
What is that thing that we keep saying? Everybody has a price?
Well, maybe we do.
It seems so.
Everyone has a price that they keep getting every single month. It's called the Gupta salary.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Premier League and all the people in cabinet who, you know, there's so much money that we don't know about.
That we have no idea about.
And the Guptas are just sick of paying it in cash, so now they need a bank to help them do it.
How come we never get into these circles, folks?
Because we're idiots.
No, I don't think because we're idiots. I actually think because we're better than that. I mean, this is blood money.
Damn it. This moral
thing. This money comes at the expense of every single South African citizen.
Mm-hmm.
This money is your money that is being perverted and twisted. I mean, to even allow this family to do business anymore is outrageous. They should not be allowed to run their business, considering the things that we know already about their interference in the machinations of the state. It's insane. And the way that they are lined up for tenders, left, right, and center, and they then disperse those tenders in cash form back into the system so that they can keep the network of patronage going. It's Machiavellian. It's clever. I'll give you credit. But now your time is up, Guptas. You've got to get the hell out. I mean, can't we all just go to their house? Tear it down. I mean, I'm not going to suggest that because I think that would be arson. But I mean, isn't that what would send a strong message?
Definitely.
And couldn't we revoke their passports? Couldn't we storm the union buildings? Not storm, but march there. There's surely something that the citizens of this country can do that will show that we've had it up to here. And wouldn't it be great if all the parties came together and if everybody left their bullshit at the door, like white people, black people, rich people, poor people, old people, young people, everybody goes. That would frighten the hell out of the president.
But this is the ANC's greatest chance to actually regain its integrity here. Like, this is it. This is the big chance. But they're going to sit in their hands.
Cyril's sitting on his hands. Gwede's sitting on his hands. They're all shit scared. They're just frightened little boys.
And people will still vote for them on the back of this.
Well, no, I don't know that they will.
They will. Of course they will, Gareth.
Increasingly not, Ben.
All you ever hear is people saying, I don't trust Musi Maimane. Yeah, yeah, because he's doing such horrible things all over the place.
Well, this is why, you know, strategically the DA are actually considering getting rid of Helen Ziller because she's bad for business.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all strategy, people. Put your emotions aside for a second. This is all just strategy.
That's true.
I mean, if the DA is looking for a way to survive, to gain more votes, they have to make some tough decisions. That's just the way it goes.
All right. You raise valid points. I'm still trying to figure out what the president's up to here with Pravin, but we'll figure that out probably when it's too late. Let's get into Ben's sport this morning, see what's going on over there. Great show yesterday with the bounce.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But I got to say, the sport's as depressing as the news.
Uh-oh.
South Africa is 60 for 5. They're currently 115 runs behind New Zealand, who scored 489 in their first innings. So, well, the usual happened, really. Algar did bug rule. He's going quite cheaply all of a sudden after starting the test series so well. Tennis De Bruyne, he is the new guy who replaced Stephen Cook. He sort of ran into Hashim Amla, got himself ran out. Amla's average just keeps going down and down. You can't trust this guy at all. He's just useless. I mean, I'd love to say something remotely positive here, but the fact that teams have peaks and troughs, but this is just absolutely diabolical. But when we just went out for one run, 60 for 5. Ugh. Maybe like the recent run of fixtures has actually been kind of like helpful to the Proteas in test matches. It's like a bit of a false dawn. We got the Aussies when they're in a bit of a spin.
Mm-hmm.
But, 60 for 5. Seriously, I can't say any more than that. This batting lineup is rather frail. They rely so much on Quinton de Kock at number 7. And when that happens, you've got some real passengers in the team. But you know that already. So in other crickets, it's also slightly one-sided. India are going to trot on to victory here. They've just lost their second wicket, but that won't really matter because they've got 8 wickets to hand, and all they need is 51 runs. Rahane just hit 2 fours. So it looks like they're going to edge Australia in that series. 2-1 any moment now in Dharamsala. That's where the Dalai Lama watches cricket.
He likes really?
Yeah. Whenever they play cricket at the Dharamsala stadium, he's there. He goes in a little box, a little area where he watches.
Wow.
Yeah, very interesting. So there's actually bugger all sport to report back on today. So I've got a couple of different sort of stories. First one of the money, right? The biggest football earners.
Yeah, okay.
So Cristiano Ronaldo, as we know, is the world's richest sports person.
Okay.
So clearly he tops this list. In the 2016-2017 season, he made 1.2 billion rand.
Incredible.
I struggle to get the words out. 1.2 billion rand is what he makes salary wise. That's absolutely outrageous. He beats Messi, who's second, Neymar is third, Gareth Bale is fourth, and Argentine's Ezequiel Lavezzi is fifth. He plays for a team in China.
Never heard of him before.
Well, the Chinese didn't either, but they thought they'd buy him and give him 28.5 million euros.
Right.
Jose Mourinho is the highest paid coach with an income of 28 million euros. 28 million euros.
Okay.
Fuck, that's nice. That's real nice. In Australia, right, they play lots of sport. But in participation, what is Australia's biggest sport?
Must be Aussie rules football.
No.
I'm gonna say that Australians should turn killing their most dangerous animals into a sport.
Yeah, but it's a tough one to get into.
But I don't know. You tell me.
Football, Gareth. Soccer.
You're kidding?
Yeah.
The Socceroos.
Highest participation, number of regular participants in Australia in 2016, 623,000.
All right.
What do you reckon the second most participated sport in Australia is?
Most participated, hey?
Cricket.
Rugby?
No, golf.
No.
Interestingly enough, cricket is all the way down in fifth with 377,000 people participating. Sixth is martial arts. Seventh is netball. Eight is a new Aussie rules football.
Huh.
Then lawn bowls at 9.
Lawn bowls?
Darts at 10th.
Wow.
And in order to find rugby, you've got to go all the way down to 26th, which is tied with ballroom dancing, my belly. As many people ballroom dance in Australia regularly as play rugby union.
That's pretty amazing.
And these dickheads want to have 5 teams of Super Rugby. Get stuffed.
Yeah, we shouldn't allow it.
Bollocks, you can have 3 and you'll like it.
Okay.
Ballroom dancing is as big as that game. So on that story, that's the reason I brought it up, is that obviously there's all the speculation about which Super Rugby teams are going to get the chop. Because essentially, it needs to go down to 15 teams for this thing to be like people to care about it anymore. So on 18 teams, some teams have to fall away. So obviously Australia has to have at least 1 fall away. People are saying South Africa should have 2 fall away. The problem with that whole South Africa's falling away is that government is all behind the Kings because they've got this notion that the Kings is great for transformation and a lot of black talent comes from Eastern Cape. Yeah, correct, but they go play for the Bulls. They play for the Stormers. They play for the Sharks. They don't play for that union. And that dickhead Cheeky Watson ran that union to the ground for over a decade. So it's a lovely idea, just like many other things that government try to put their grubby paws on. But it hasn't made business sense, and professional sport is obviously all about business.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is, like, the force might get thrown out of Australia because, well, it's in Perth. Too many South Africans. I mean, the only people who watch rugby in Perth are South Africans because they can't ballroom dance.
Right.
So, but the thing is that they might go. But if now if the Kings say, well, hang on a second, we're not going to go, then it might just stay at 18. Then we've got a massive legal standoff that no teams want to get going. And even though SARU is giving a 2-year payout to whichever team does get thrown out, they'll still get paid what they ordinarily get paid for 2 years.
Hmm.
They're going to say bollocks to that. Yeah. So that's pretty much all the sport needs to focus on today. There's cricket on the go, but India are going to just walk over Australia. And, well, South Africa might get to end of play today. There's 9 overs remaining, currently 61 for 5. But all day tomorrow, unless it absolutely buckets down, it'll be a big loss.
All right.
Yeah, that's it for sport.
Thank you, Ben. Let's go to Anthea Gardner, who's got a look at the money in the Money Shot daily at about this time. We get to check in with Anthea and find out what's happening to our money, and more especially on a day like today, what is happening to our rand. Dollar bill, she works hard for the money. Yes, she does so hard for it, honey. Okay, Anthea, so a big blowout. You actually gave me the news yesterday of Pravin being summoned back home by the president. How's the rand doing this morning?
It's kind of settled around 12.75. It did touch 12.80 yesterday afternoon into the night, but really just not good news. In addition, the all-share index fell 0.25%. And despite this rand volatility yesterday, volumes were quite low, $1.3 billion traded. I think if investors and traders are anything like me, we're just nervous to trade because we just don't know what's going to happen next. Bond prices fell, pushing the yields to their highest since October last year. Mm-hmm. And of course, no surprise. Banks got absolutely smashed, as did the retailers, all down 3% and more yesterday. You know, I think I'm now a little bit worried that this petrol price decrease I was hoping for in April is less likely to come through. And of course, the weaker rand won't help inflation. So the MPC are meeting today. They're now less likely to be keen to cut interest rates. And then in addition, Gareth, I think the ratings agency's review in June, which of course is one of the reasons the finance minister and his team were on the roadshow, I think they'll be looking at South Africa now and thinking, well, maybe we do deserve that downgrade after all. And those are all the implications of what happened yesterday, just by the presidency recalling the finance minister and putting out basically a one-line statement just with no explanation of why.
You know, we got a lot of very, very basic people who make some very, very complex decisions in government. Just explain again that when a ratings agency decides to downgrade a country, it's not to punish the president because they don't like him. It's to make sure that people's money is safeguarded from capriciousness. I mean, is that a good summary for the problem?
That's perfect. I actually couldn't do better than that. So the investors and foreign investors,
they don't care about who the president is. They're not interested in what the party is that elects the president. They don't care about any of that stuff. They just look at the way money flows and they go, well, if you put it there, you take your chances.
That's exactly right. So basically what they're saying is that we are a more risky investment than, say, a Brazil or any of the other emerging currencies or markets like Russia or Latin America.
Again, just to gild the lily, because who knows, this podcast may go far and wide. It may even reach people who are supporters of the president who think that this is all a conspiracy by, you know, international capital against Jacob Zuma, for God knows what reason, as if international capital could be bothered with the small amount of world production that South Africa is responsible for. It is not about feelings. This has got nothing to do with anyone's sentiment towards the president. There is no meeting of people who gets together to decide they're going to victimize South Africa in particular. Am I right? This is really just about money, and money does not flow uphill.
That's exactly right.
I just thought we needed to be clear about that. Who knows?
It's a good point. You know, the ratings agencies are not proactive; they're reactive. So it's a consequence.
Yeah.
Anyway, the weaker rand did help our rand hedges a little bit. Mediclinic, British American Tobacco, Richemont, Anheuser-Busch, Naspers, they were all in the green yesterday. Obviously, not enough because overall the market was still down. And then this Trump trade kind of falling away has helped the gold shares quite a bit. Sibanye Gold was up 9% yesterday.
Wow.
Harmony up 6.5%. Unfortunately for Kumba, they just could not catch a bid. Iron ore prices continue to fall. And we spoke about this last week or the week before. We were saying that with the iron ore spot price above $90 an ounce, and because of the leverage, Kumba is actually a really good buy. But we decided that it's not necessarily a long-term play. And if you wanted to trade the Kumba share, then now would be a good time to do so because of this leverage. But watch the iron ore price carefully. And so this is a warning because the iron ore price has now started falling. And even though it's trading close to $90 an ounce, I think it's more likely, based on kind of supply, demand, and cost of production, that this iron ore price will go closer, will go back closer to, I think, probably $65, $70 a barrel, in which case you don't actually want to own Kumba.
Okay.
So just if you do own, just watch it carefully.
All right.
And then Sun International reported their full year results yesterday. Revenue up 31% year on year, but that includes the consolidation of the Latin American business called Dreams. And without it, unfortunately, Sun International results were a mess. South African revenue declined by 2%. EBITDA was down 6.7%. I mean, they're pretty much still on schedule and on budget for the opening of Times Square in Pretoria, which will be a really nice boost to revenue. However, there are two main issues with this year's results. First of all, the South African consumer is under pressure. We can see that. And then the VIP gambling. So I don't know if you remember last year, Graham Stevens, who has subsequently left the group, was telling us how they fly gamblers in from China, put them up in fancy rooms. They spend an extraordinary amount of money. And so, you know, that kind of high-end gambling, they're not the guys sitting at the slot machines. They're in the private rooms in the back playing baccarat and all sorts of other things.
Baccarat.
Can you play baccarat?
Not really. Kind of, but not really. Yeah, I'm a poker player.
That's what James Bond used to play.
Isn't it pronounced baccarat?
Baccarat.
Oh, whatever. Sorry, yes. Baccarat.
All right. So we'll have to find someone who can teach us how to do that. It sounds like the kind of thing we should know.
True. I'd love to learn properly, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. So this group of gamblers, they're kind of... They weren't what Graham Stevens was betting on completely, but he did have quite a high bet on them, excuse the pun. And they made a loss of Sun International made a loss of 55 million rand on this group this time round. And then I've learned something about gambling in the last couple of weeks, and that is that gambling debts are not enforceable in China. And so if you think of it, yeah. So think of it as a Chinese gambler. You come to South Africa, you don't have to. It's probably a once-off trip because there are lots of casinos around mainland China. And you don't actually care about your credit rating. And for Sun International, when the gambler goes back to China, you can't actually enforce his debt.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's kind of...
So they've written off quite a big loss there.
Yeah, it's an asymmetrical bet. I keep using this word bet for Sun International. So really, I think a difficult set of results. They're very much in capital preservation mode, Sun International is. They didn't declare a dividend. And I think they're just all their chips are on Times Square in Pretoria.
All right.
And then that's it. I'm not sure what's going to happen today with this rand. I'm guessing that the finance minister is probably landing about now. And we'll just wait and see for news. I really am not going to make predictions today. I'm sitting on my hands watching carefully.
Are you going to go and meet him at the airport like when the Springboks land? You know, back in the days when they used to win.
Well, I'm not sure the finance minister is on a winning streak at the moment, so no.
Just from the point of view of whether or not there's a way for us to protect ourselves against stupidity, what is the worst case scenario regarding him? I mean, from the point of view of someone who's an asset manager.
Okay, so for me, the worst case scenario would be that Pravin Gordhan gets fired, Brian Molefe gets put in as finance minister. It's the international investment community will not understand how somebody who has been implicated in a state capture report is now being given keys to the Treasury. For me, so that for me would be the worst case scenario. Subsequently, I think rating agencies will downgrade us and the rand will probably blow out to 16 to the dollar.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Vey, vey. All right.
I mean, I think if there's any more news today, it'll easily go to 13, 15, maybe even 14. And after the downgrade, and then of course you've got high inflation, you've got all sorts of problems, and we just, high inflation in this country is just not what we need right now. The consumer cannot afford it.
Vincent says on WhatsApp this morning, and you can WhatsApp us on 0797482090. Vincent says Jacob Zuma is running the country like a Shebeen owner.
I'm not sure I completely understand. Oh,
yeah. All right.
I got it.
Thanks, Anthea.
Pleasure. Bye. Bye.
There we go. Isn't that interesting? Hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby, go. CliffCentral.com.